I'm in Numbers now. We're going that way. Joshua chapter number 7. Begin reading in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avin, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Verse 10, And the Lord spake unto Joshua, Get up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They've also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and dissembled. Also they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their back before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until... I wish you'd, if you mark your Bible, draw a little circle. I have a little circle around until... God left the latch on the door. Until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning therefore you shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the cursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed against the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. I want you to notice verse 3, and then we'll go to the next chapter. And they said, Let not all of the people go, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men smite Ai. Chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all of the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and to her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof should you take for a prey for yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. I want to speak tonight on the defeat and the victory at Ai. God said in the book of Hosea chapter 2, I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. I believe where defeat has been, victory is available. Father, would you anoint us tonight with a fresh anointing? I pray that you'd lift us above our limited ability. Let us breathe celestial air again, I pray. Oh God, without you we can do nothing. Our confidence is in the Lamb that was slain, in the victory of the cross, in the mighty, glorious power of your resurrection. Visit us, I pray, tonight with a special quickening of the Holy Spirit in this tabernacle. Let this altar be a flame of fire with Pentecost. Minister to every heart and every life, and I'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God has not changed. Malachi 3:6 said, I'm the Lord and I change not. Hardest scripture probably for us to believe is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somewhere there's a mentality in this generation that God makes an exception for this 1997 models. Somehow God doesn't deal sternly with sin as he has in the past. Somehow we believe that God somehow will look over our sins. I attended a large church on a Sunday night and heard that pastor tell some 3,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 people, God never will hold you accountable for your sins once you're saved. I was so disturbed I almost got up, but I knew they'd arrest me. He said it would be easier for Jesus to backslide in heaven than for you to backslide once you're saved. I took high blood pressure of the Spirit. I knew it wasn't safe for me to stay there, so I got out and went in the hall for a while. I want to assure you tonight, this old book has not changed. The ages has not rubbed its contents off. It's the infallible word of the living God tonight. He's a God of mercy, a God of all grace. I do not know that I fully understand grace. I was up in Canada preaching a camp meeting. Young man came to me and said, Brother Brankle, you're preaching against sin. You've forgotten. We're under grace. And I said, son, grace is stronger than the law. Under the law, it was eye for eye and a tooth for tooth. But under grace, it's a different story. Under the law, you could have a bill of divorcement. But under grace, he said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery. Grace, I begin to search then to find a definition for grace. God of all grace. I had always heard and quoted it that it's the unmerited favor of God, but it's more than that. I believe the best definition I've ever heard is it's God's provision for us what we could not provide for ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. God providing for us what we could not provide for ourselves. That's shouting ground. Under the Old Testament, it was provisional grace. God provided everything. Everything I've got came from him. The air I breathe, the body I have, everything he provided. It's provisional. Then when I got to Calvary, it was unconditional grace. Hallelujah. Nothing that I had done. I was a wretched, miserable, lost, hell-bound, wicked, defiled, corrupt, hateful, mean, stubborn, rebellious sinner just like you. Amen. You didn't hear it. We'll try it again. I was a sinner exceedingly. I was 7 years old when I got saved. I never had committed a lot of sins. I'd cussed once and I had stolen some cookies and smoked one homemade cigarette. And it was made out of coffee and Sears and Roebuck catalog. I did go to a shivery and get a cigar and smoke for a little while, and that's the day Dad delivered me. He took a razor strap and made one end smoke enough and the other one quit. So I never had really committed a lot of sins. I did put a frog in the teacher's desk and it jumped out at her and she backslid. So I caused one soul to lose out. But really, I hadn't been a bad sinner, but I came to Jesus and I was lost. But unconditionally at the cross, nothing that I did, nothing that I could do, it was Calvary, all grace, all love, all mercy. Hallelujah. Now, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It was a gift of God. Oh, it was all. He provided every bit of it. I didn't deserve it. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. And he didn't know it, but he did it for me. Woo, hallelujah. That's shouting ground. But since Calvary, it's conditional grace. Oh, I've upset you. I've already lost three of you, theologian, but I thought I'd tell you it's that away. There's something for you to do. I said, since Calvary, there's something for you to do. Crucify the old man. Put off the old man with his works. Come on, pick up your cross. God demands something out of you since Calvary. It's a different story. Now, God demands us to do something about it. Hallelujah. It's conditional now. If you'll turn from your wicked ways, if you'll turn to God, if you'll call it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm on shouting ground. So now then, what God did in the Old Testament has a type and a shadow, because the Old Testament has Jesus in it. If you can read the Old Testament and miss Jesus, then you didn't get it. He said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. So the old covenant had Jesus in it. He was in the garden. He was in the creation. He was in the boat. Hallelujah. He is the last one out of the boat. He was at, when the walls fell flat, he's there. Hallelujah. Well, let me hurry. My time get away before I get to my message. And some of you are in a hurry, I could tell. You're used to getting out in an hour, but you may anyway, but not on my time. So here, so here it is. I got to the book of Joshua, and they had gotten out of Egypt's bondage. They'd crossed the howling, blowing, sandy desert. They had now come to Jordan's River, and they crossed over at flood tide on dry ground. That's enough to shout about. Hallelujah. I just like it when you, I like it when they're doing something, marching. I like going somewhere. That's the reason why I'm an evangelist. And so they marched across that river on dry ground, got out on the other side of the bank, and now then they're going to take the city. For God said, I'll give you the land. It's yours. Did you read it? He said, I'll drive out the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Russellites, and I'll drive them all out. I like the way I nearly said a word. So he'll drive them all. I want to promise you tonight, I've got just as great a promise in the New Testament. I read in this old-fashioned book, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You didn't hear it. I said there's not enough devils loose or tied up that could keep a church down if that church walks in the Spirit and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo, hallelujah. Ah, you read it this morning, Brother Lednecker. You read it, Brother Newbern. You said this morning, my God is able, we're more than conquerors. Did you hear that? Roll up your sleeves. We're not a bunch of namby-pambies sitting praying till we'll hold out to the end. We're marching victoriously in a triumphant church. Woo, hallelujah. I'm feeling better now. And here's what he said. He said, you can march into the land. I'll drive them out. I'll give it to you. There's giants there. There's Hittites there. There's Jebusites there. And there's some other kind of folks. But God's going to... I mean, I had them in my church once. And... Some of you still got them. I can tell by looking. But here it is. He said, I'll drive them out. God gave them an assurance. They got out on the other side of that bank, and the first place was Jericho. Shut up, walled cities. I mean, barren barriers that stood to defy them. And old Joshua looked up, and he saw a guest there, leaning up against the wall. Hey, buddy. Hey, pal. Who are you? Are you for us or against us? Oh, I said, you don't know who I am, Joshua. I've come to be captain of the host of the armies of Israel. Woo! I wish we could lift our eyes and see the heavenlies tonight. I've got a feeling right over us is a captain that's come to walk in the midst of the candlesticks, that's bigger than your battles, that's bigger than your adversary, that's greater than every enemy. He's God Almighty. Hallelujah. I said, He'll take you through. I said, He'll take you through. Well, let's talk about it. So they get out on the other side of the bank and they get look at those walls. And Joshua said, we're going to have a Jericho march. I don't know how they did it, but they did. I've been in several, but I've never been in one like that. 6 days they marched, and Sister Gillicuddy couldn't say a word. I know one, I double dare to been in that march. It's in there, Tom Goins. They marched around that wall and couldn't say a word for 6 days. Just marching, marching. It's a Jericho march. Folks up on the wall making faces at them, cussing them and laughing at them. And we're still marching, 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 because we're marching with the captain of the host of the armies of God. And about that time, old Joshua said, now in the morning, you're going to need to get the kids ready early. See, Moses told him to get their shoes on before they left Egypt, because he knew good and well if they didn't find their shoes for night, they'd never get out that by midnight. You can't hardly start the church and find all the kids' shoes. Sometimes I wish my kids were horses so I could have nailed them on. But here it is. The marching, marching. But he said, get up early in the morning. Get up, I mean, before preacher's hours. Get up. I love the way we're shouting now. We're going to march. And they get up the next morning, and brother, they march till their heels are sore. They've got blisters on them, but they're marching. And about that time, shout, hallelujah. I don't know whether they felt like it or not, but just once in a while, do you good to sacrifice a shout. Woo, hallelujah. Say amen. You say, I'm afraid I'm in the flesh. Well, I want to tell you now, it looks to me like we are anyway. So let's just have a time. Shout, woo, hallelujah. And the walls came down. God gave them victory. And old Joshua said, don't you touch those Babylonian garments, because they may not be long enough. I just sometimes wish I had a Pharisee in my church. They sewed borders on them. But let me hurry. I love the way you're shouting. Are you a clothesline preacher? No, there's not enough left there in most places to preach on. So I just go ahead and preach. I love the way you're nearly saying amen. Oh, we're leaning that way. Old Joshua gets up. They march around those walls and it falls flat. But he said, don't you touch those Babylonian garments. And don't you touch that gold or silver. It's accursed. And of course, those two things have caused a great deal of trouble in the church. See, the cafe can have a dress code, but don't put one in your church. Woo! I love the way you're shouting. Because Sister Gillicuddy will take her girls and her dolls and go home. I love the way you nearly said amen. I'll get off of this. That's as far as I'm going, but there's a little more there that needs to be said. Ooh, I wish I hadn't said it wasn't going any further. But now here it is. Marched around the walls, but old Achan, I know him. Of course, in my church, his first name was Billy. Not Billy. I didn't say Billy. Stomach. And didn't get it. Try it again. And so Achan got over and he found a Babylonian's garment and some gold, and you know the story, stuck it under his tent, down in his tent, and buried him. And now, they're getting ready to go to Ai. I'm just now down to my message. It takes a long time to find one sometime. Several of you members have sat quite a while waiting. Pastor asked the deacon to pray over his message, and he said, "Oh God, give our pastor a message, I pray. Give him a real message. Lord, with you all things are possible." And so here we are. I'm down where we start. And so Joshua appoints a committee. He should have learned better. Moses appointed one. Had 12 on it, and 10 of them were half backslid. Come over that hill, bunch of cowards. We can't go into this building program. We can't. I won't get into that. And then there's some of them they shouldn't have. But anyway, because some of my MBA money was in it. Not much, but it worried me enough. I mean, when you just got a little bitsy bit, you're proud of it. I'm coming back with the presbyters. We're going to get back here where the rubber meets the road. So here it is. There. Where now then he points a committee. Should have known better, but he sent men over to check out Ai. They came back and said, "Oh, it's nothing, Pastor. Well, hallelujah. We're saved, sanctified, and petrified. Don't worry. We can take the land, nothing to it. It will just be, oh, it's a piece of cake. Get ready, Pastor. Oh, don't send many over there. Just give us a handful." Number one, why were they defeated? Put it in your day book. Number one, they didn't all get involved. If there's anything that's defeating the church, it's we don't get everybody involved. It's a little handful carrying the load for a church full. Great God, give me somewhere where everybody will get in the altar, everybody will pray through, everybody get full of the Holy Ghost, everybody get a touch of God. We'll start a revival that'll shake a state for God. Ooh, I'm on shouting ground. I want to tell you now, I travel as an evangelist, and I know, because I think maybe I may have used this before, but you know, preachers have a right, old folks get to where they tell their stories over and over. And you can tell them, "You told me that," and they'll tell the whole thing again in more detail than they did the first time. I go to churches and they announce prayer meeting and running 500 in Sunday school, and we're gonna have prayer meeting Saturday night. Everybody be here. You that want a real revival, how many'd like to see God move? Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't take much to get your arm up. How many believe Jesus is coming? Hallelujah. Oh, I love the way you're shouting. And then Saturday night, we come out to prayer meeting. They're running 500. And the pastor says, "I'm so thrilled. Just think, we had 13 here tonight. Hallelujah. I mean, our church is having a revival." Where is that 487? Say amen. Woo, come on. While they were busy here and there, he got away. Can I talk to you tonight? If the whole church would carry the burden, if a Pentecostal church, if one more time it can happen from the back seat to the front and get in the pulpit, we could have a revival that would shake a nation for God Almighty. Come on, everybody get in. Woo! See, you could take usually about a dozen good prayer warriors and tithers and load carriers out of a church and cripple most any church. Say amen? There's just a little handful carry the load. Now, I want to ask you, when you go to church, do you go because it's your responsibility or because it's a glorious opportunity? Woo! we don't go just because it's responsibility. It is a responsibility. But thank God it's an opportunity to have one more meeting this side of the rapture and have victory through Jesus Christ. Glory to God and the Lamb. Get everybody involved. Oh, I remember when everybody, you got somebody to the altar. Brother, they'd stay with them. And now it's a problem to find altar workers. Say amen. You didn't hear me. I said, it's a bigger job for me to get some of the saints to the altar than it is sinners. Of course, sometimes they're the same, but you didn't hear me. I said, it's a chore. There's folks that hadn't been in the altar in 5 years. I'm telling you, God will do something in a church if that church will work together, pray together, believe together, give together, worship together, camp meetings on. Woo! I'm telling you, Superintendent Newbern, I feel something in my bones. We talk about the day of Pentecost, but there's all in one accord. I know 380 didn't show up, but they weren't members. They just followers. You didn't hear me. He's seen a 500, but that's folks that just saw him. They're Easter Sunday folks. You didn't hear me. But 120 faithful followers, faithful believers, faithful worshipers, faithful prayers, faithful praisers. We're in an upper room, faithful stairs, in one accord, in one place. Hallelujah, glory, amen. 10 days, and no wonder God filled every one of them. Lord, if the Holy Ghost could fill everybody here that's been filled tonight with a refilling of the Holy Ghost, this camp meeting would get out of hand. Lord, I'm asking you to baptize us from a... Come on! Chuck Freeman, he's still in the baptizing business tonight. We'll light the lost, brother. We'll get the job done. Didn't take them all. See, the devil wants you to leave part of the family out. He already told Moses when he got ready to leave your kids and wives here. See, and I'm disturbed when I cross the country. But I can tell you now, it doesn't hurt young people to go to church with grandma. In fact, it'll do them good. It'll do your juniors good to be in there and see grandma shout again. She's told those kids she used to, and those kids are wondering what's wrong with her. Ooh, that side quit. I'm coming back over here. Woo, come on. It's no use telling how I used to do it. No use of me telling you about my Brush Arbor. Oh, come on. Let's talk about camp meeting 1997 when the Holy Ghost fell and the church was involved. So, they didn't take them all. I read it right here. Send just a little bunch up there. Well, that's no trouble, Josh. We'll send the Wednesday night crowd. In fact, it might be good we send the Monday night revival crowd. And then, the second thing, number two. I've got more than one point. But I want you to get the first one. No, some of you never know when I change points. So I'm on point two, paragraph three, page one, and here it is. You know what it says here? It says they said our enemy's not big. I'm afraid the church is forgotten. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. I know God gave you authority to trample on their lions and adders, but I want you to know we're in a battle for our lives. If an angel showed up and fought with the devil 21 days to get Daniel's prayer through, we're fighting battles in the heavenlies. We're fighting against principalities. We're fighting against the powers of darkness. And we need the church to pray. We need victory to get people through to God. We need people to pray the prayer of faith that when people come to this altar, they'll be delivered of drugs and alcohol. It won't take 2 months in a new convert's class to get it. They'll go home delivered, set free by the power of a name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Glory to God and the Lamb. Brother, we're in a battle for our lives. We're fighting strongholds. We're fighting the powers of darkness. There's a world outside of this church that's bidding for our young people at the video shop. Pornography's out to damn our souls. Am I right? We're fighting against darkness. We're fighting against devils that play with people's mind, causes church fights and church fusses and bad business meetings and fussing deacons and contrary preachers. Love the way you're shouting. I shouldn't have said the last line, but I won't take it back. It's unedited. Amen? Here, God, I want to tell you, folks, we're battling darkness. And the devil's playing with people's mind. My Father God, give us holy men, dedicated men, sanctified men, overcoming men, Holy Ghost-filled men. We need somebody to pray the powers of darkness will be broken. And victory will come in the church. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not one of these that believe you can fly over the city in a helicopter and bind every devil in town. Because I just went to one of those cities where they did that. And they'd gotten loose time I got there. I molested devils that hadn't been molested since the days of the Apostle Paul. I love the way you're looking at me. But I believe in the church, this body of Christ has a victory. There is a binding and releasing power. There's a victory, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven in His church. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, I must hurry. Point number three. They didn't have the whole church involved, and that's a pretty big job. We send a bulletin to them. We call them. We get them involved. We do everything. Shake hands with them twice. You folks don't understand this, but this is Arkansas. They do this. And I hate to bring that state up, but I did. But the third thing that happened in that church, in that group that were marched around the walls of Jericho, they'd been there when walls fell flat. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been there when they didn't fall. Say amen. I've been there when I shook them and Simonized them and they didn't get it. Hallelujah. And they marched around and they just came back from victory. But there's sin in the camp. Now, not a lot of sin. Everybody wasn't a sinner. But there's just one bunch over there, Achan. I know him. I can just almost see him singing, "Won't It Be Wonderful There?" Most pious saint in the church. But there's sin, hidden sin, hidden sin, hidden sin. And old Joshua sent that group up there and they got the daylights beat out of them. I mean daylights. They came back whipped and 36 people killed. See, innocent people have to suffer because the church is not prepared. Your city suffers because the Pentecostal church doesn't have the fire burning in it. Come on, there's a conviction that falls in an area. I believe when a Holy Ghost church gets on fire, they'll feel it around that area. Conviction come. Great God, come on. Our sons and daughters won't be saved because we don't have enough fire in the altar. Bring it back, Lord God. Let it happen. Somebody's suffering because we've got sin in our lives. Oh, Joshua, pastor comes in, oh God, why did you do me this way? I've never heard Joshua pray this way. He is a believer. He always came back with a good report. We can lick giants. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. I'm in churches where they're saying, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We're going to... And I know they don't have much because half of them didn't make it back Sunday night. Does any of you know what I'm talking about? Is this another? I hope you get the interpretation then. And now, old Joshua gets down and said, oh God, why did you do me this way? Them Hittites and Jebusites and Russellites will hear about this, and God, they'll get us. Oh God, you brought us over this. Why did you let me be elected in this church? Lord God, I had a call to another one, but this didn't seem like the will of God. It paid more. Jesus. Oh, I'm on shouting ground now. Oh, why did you do it? He's bellowing. My God, would you have mercy, Lord God? He said, and for the first time, this believer, this man that crossed Jordan, this man that came back with a good report, this man that stayed in the tabernacle when the rest of them were murmuring, is saying, God, I wish we'd have stayed on the other side of the river. And God came by and said, that's enough out of you. Get up. Yes, sir. You've got sin in the camp. Well, God, where is it? He said, you find it. Now, if you'll preach a pretty good a few weeks, you'll find it. See, we didn't do much counseling when I came in. All of it was done in the pulpit. You knew what the pastor thought before you went and asked him in the study. Say amen. You didn't have to go in some room back there. You already knew his stand. I didn't have to go ask my pastor, how do you feel about this? How do you feel? Do you think it's wrong to go to the picture show? Well, we wouldn't have thought about asking. He'd have said, if you get saved, you won't, son. Oh, I love the way you nearly said amen, but I just believe it that way. Oh, we're having a time. And so I got hurt. Ooh, it's 9:05 if you're taking medicine. So here it is. God said, get up. There's sin in the camp. And old Joshua said, all right, I'll bring them in the morning. He lined them up. And Judah happened to be, because God said, put Judah first. So he lined up Judah first. And here he came, Achan, the son of Zabdi, I think, or C-Ray or somebody. He's got a pedigree. And he brought him in and he confessed his sin. Achan, now you've confessed it, haven't you, son? Yes, sir. Well, that's enough. Amen. We love you, and we'll just go stay right here in church. Just work with us because we just sure love you. Glad you got that out of your heart, and I'm glad you told us where the gold is. We'll send somebody up and get it. I love the way you folks are looking. God deals with sin harsh. That's why, see, sin demands a death penalty. He said, take him down to the valley of Achor. Put him down in the valley. Same place as Kidron. Put him down there and pile stones on him, his kids, his donkeys, his cows, everything he's got. Bury him in the valley of Achor. Bury him, kill him, stone him. Brother, that's a job. I don't like to do that. Lord, have mercy, God, if I got to throw another rock. Put him in the valley, bury him, bury him, bury him, pile some rocks, put some more on him, throw him, hit him, beat him. None of you are believing me now. I've lost everybody. But it's in the book. But let me tell you what happened. Because God said, you have to kill the old man. Crucify, didn't he say it? Folks, when you come to God, there's a death has to happen. Dead indeed unto sin. Crucified with Christ. Dead to the world. Dead to sin. Dead, dead, dead. We have to die. Somebody has to die if sin's going to be brought into subjection to the cross of Calvary's bleeding. Oh, I must close. But I don't want to leave you here. We can't leave you with this pile of rocks and a dead deacon. They buried him down there in that rock pile. Call it Achor. Achor, the valley of death, the valley of rocks, the valley of judgment, the valley where sin was dealt with. But God said it. Wait a minute. We're on shouting ground now. I'm going to try to get there in a little while. Somebody, don't put your shoes on yet. We're not that far along. But I'm. Let me tell you, we're going to try to get out of this valley. Woo! I mean, Joshua gets up the next morning, and the rock pile's down there. He's so deep you can't even smell him. And Joshua gets up the next morning and God says, Joshua, I'm glad you obeyed me. Get all of your army. Did you hear it? Get everybody involved. Get those on the back row in the altar. Get those that never come down. Get everybody involved. You didn't hear me. Get everybody filled. Get everybody. Woo! Get them all. Come on. Get the deacons. Get the youth. Get the young people. Get Sister Gillicuddy. Hallelujah. Get them all. We're going to have a revival. Get together. Come on, all of you. And the whole army marches up to that little city. And when they march in, God discomfited them. Whatever that is. I think in Oklahoma language, he beat the daylights out of them. Hallelujah. Can I shout today? God hasn't changed. The God of Jericho is the God of Ai. The God of that it was defeated because of that they were defeated over because of sin is the God of victory. He'll make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Get ready. Hallelujah. No enemy can stand against the promise of God Almighty. I know I'm through, but I'm not. Whew. Can I tell you, God can take defeat if we'll come God's way and turn it into victory. Moses thought he could take a pair of boxing gloves and deliver Israel from Egypt. He waylaid an Egyptian, hit him too hard, tried to cover up the evidence, but somebody saw him. But one day, when he didn't need boxing gloves, he needed a touch of fire from a burning bush. It's not our fighting and our wrangling and our fussing. It's hearing from God afresh. Amen. God takes defeat and turns it into victory. Hallelujah. I want to shout with you tonight. The children of Israel fished all night and caught nothing. But Jesus said, put the net on the other side of the boat. Just one word from Jesus and it turned defeat into victory. They couldn't even haul them all in. The net broke. Can I shout with you? David thought he could have a parade and have it. Woo, honey, it's going to take more than a parade. It'll take more than a skit. It'll take more than a pantomime. It'll take more than a video. Amen. It's going to take more than going for 3 or 4 states to try to find it. It'll just take coming God's way. He hasn't changed. Go back and go God's way. He's still God and the power is still present. Victory's still ours. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't believe there's a Pentecostal church in the state of Oklahoma, and I don't care where the address is, that can't have a revival if it'll go God's way. If I didn't believe that, I'd have to leave the field. I believe he's the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that if there's any defeat, it's on our part. God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. His promise hasn't changed. His glory hasn't changed. Well, let's lift our hands and praise him. He's God tonight, and he's almighty. Holy be up to come shabrende babariketaya privata pokumrende remasotoya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I wish you'd stand to your feet and lift your hands just as high as you could get them. And I wish you'd make God some promises. I'm going to be a part of the army. I'm going to carry the load. I'm going to be an intercessor. I'm going to be a worker. I'm going to be a faithful. I'm going to serve God. I'm going through. We're going to win. The valley of Achor will come a door of hope. Hallelujah. Well, let's worship him, the Holy Ghost. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's worship him in the power and the majesty of the high and holy God. Oh, victory, victory, precious blood-bought victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's believe him tonight. Let's believe him tonight. He hasn't changed. My God, the God of the brush arbors, the God of the tabernacle. I said the God that sent revival in Hot Springs is the God of revival in Oklahoma City. He hasn't changed. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name, 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 bless his name. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. If there's one soul walked into these doors tonight, you're not sure about your position in Christ. There may be things in your life you wish wasn't there. There may be things you prayed over a dozen times, but tonight you'd like to come to the valley of Achor and you'd like to have them buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness that our brother preached about this morning. You'll step out and you'll walk down this aisle. The only thing that keeps us from coming to God is our foolish pride. If you can get over your foolish pride and fear of man, there'll be a revival in every church. We're so afraid somebody will think we're not right. I'll tell you what I want to be. I want to be in every altar service I can get in this side of the rapture. If they have an altar service, I want to be a part of it. Because I've got a feeling Jesus is about to come. And I want to be in every one of them. Because if I knew he was coming tonight, you couldn't hire me not to be in this altar. Because he's going to have a church with extra oil in the vessel. I can't afford to be lukewarm. I can't afford to talk about what I used to have. I can't afford to be something today less than what I was sometime in the past. Lukewarm. If any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. I don't care if you've been in the church all of your life. You're a charter member. You're a pastor. You're an evangelist. You're a missionary. You're a deacon. You're a Sunday school teacher. You sing in the choir. If you need God, run to this altar tonight. If there's someone brought a need in this tabernacle to this altar, I promise you there's room at the cross. If you need a revival in your church, you're crying, my God, I've got to have something happen. It's ritual, it's routine, it's like grinding at the mill with Samson. I need God, we're going through the ritual, but we need God to come. I'd lift my hands and I'd run to this altar and cry out to God. My Father, if you've come tonight,
You need something from heaven. There's room for you in this altar. If there's something you wish wouldn't be brought to judgment and you're not sure it's off of the books, I'd run to this altar. Get the pages clear. Get the books opened. Oh, it's tonight. It's tonight. It's tonight. It's tonight. My God, He's doing a work in the midst of His church. He's waiting for us to lay down our self-righteousness. He's ready for us to throw down our self-esteem. He's ready for us to throw down our senseless pride. He's ready for us to submit. He said, if you'll humble yourselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven if you'll turn from your wicked ways. Come on, keep the victory march coming. There's nothing going on in this town as important as what's happening right here in this altar. I said there's nothing going on in this city as important as this altar tonight. If I could get everybody in this tabernacle involved in an altar service, we'd see a camp meeting that would shake the gates of Zion. Keep coming, keep coming. It's camp meeting altar tonight. If you come tonight and you need help, you need cleansing, you need forgiveness, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, come on down. Put your hands in the air. Believe Him as you come. We're coming, we're coming, we're coming. And oh, there's room for you. There's room for you. There's room for you tonight. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming.
There's room at the cross for you.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for the blood.
Oh,